How many of y'all need a word from God today? Need a word from God. Amen. I'm going to ask us just to stand to our feet just for the reading of God's word. And Cam, could you get me a bottle of water? I'm going to make sure my voice holds up this service after last service. Last service, God did some great things. Thank you, man. And I'm excited about what he's going to do today. But we're continuing our series, More Than Able. I want you to know that through the resurrection of Jesus, God is more than able to help you experience victory in every area of your life. And the reason why this is important, family, I need you to listen to this, is because a lot of times we'll limit the resurrection to just Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning. We'll celebrate it big, we'll shout about it, but then we forget about it. But I want you to understand that the resurrection is more than an event. It's meant to be a way of life. That Jesus wants us to live a resurrected life every day of the week. That it's not just something that we celebrate, it's something that we live. And so for the course of these next few weeks, we're going to be walking through the different events that surrounded the resurrection of Jesus and help us to see how it speaks to every area of our life. So we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 36 through 49, but I'm just going to read a few verses just to kind of get us started. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through 40. And here's what it says. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst. He said to them, peace. Everybody say peace. Peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled? That is the word God has for us today. Why are you troubled? What are you troubled about? He said, why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And having said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Verse 38 says this, why are you troubled, he asked them, and why do doubts, everybody say doubts, arise in your hearts. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our series, More Than Able. I want to preach from this thought. There's no doubt about it. I want you to tell the person beside you, say, hey, neighbor, I'm going to tell you something. God is more than able, and there's no doubt about it. Come on, find somebody else really quick, online as well. Say, hey, neighbor, I don't know if you know this. God is more than able, and there's no doubt about it. Come on and clap your hands if you believe that he's more than able. Father, we pray that you would speak to us, give us hope, give us encouragement. Would you remove distractions and anything that would get in the way of us receiving your word? I pray, God, that our minds will not be on things after service, that our minds will not be on things this week, but our mind will be grounded in this moment to receive the rhema word that you want us to receive in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You can go to your seat. There's no doubt about it. Now, church family, just as I was praying and preparing for this sermon and series today, as we continue our series More Than Able, I found this quote that I thought was very enlightening or also just very jarring at the same time. It was this quote by the name of Susie Kasem, and she said this, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. In case you're trying to write that down, we got our notes for this sermon in our app. If you download it, you can follow that and follow along. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. And I find that to be very interesting because I think many of us in here, if we're really honest, we've all had issues and times when we have failed. And because of past failures, it has maybe hindered us and discouraged us from moving forward. But along with failures, family, I agree with Susie that sometimes it's not the failure that keeps us from moving forward. Sometimes it's doubt that keeps us from moving forward. Doubt has kept some of us in the same place that we've been in for the past 5 years. Doubt has kept some of us from pursuing the dream that God has placed in our heart. Doubt, let me get real, practical, has caused some of us to not shoot our shot with that person that we feel like God has connected us with. I'm trying to help some of us in here. Doubt has caused some of us to not apply for a job that maybe God has for us. Doubt has even caused us to not trust the people that God has placed around us. Doubt is a tricky thing, y'all. It means to have some questions about, some uncertainties about. In many ways, it's connected and somewhat close to the other word by the name of disbelief. Doubt and disbelief oftentimes aren't too far from one another, which brings us here to Luke 24. Because the context here is that Jesus has resurrected. And prior to this moment, as we learned last week, and if you missed last week's message, you can listen to that to catch up. But prior to this moment, Jesus has raised back to life. He has resurrected. And he's revealed himself first to Mary and a few other women. And he tells them, go tell my brothers, meaning the other disciples, that I'm alive and that I'll meet them in Galilee. But along with that, Jesus also reveals himself to some other disciples, as we learned last week, who were making their way down to a village called Emmaus. They hadn't got the news, nor had they had an experience that Jesus was alive yet. They were discouraged, as we learned last week. They were defeated. They were even themselves in a place of doubt. But while they're on that road of discouragement, Jesus meets them and reveals himself to them to show them that he is alive. Which brings us to Luke 24, because those same disciples or followers, Cleopas and some others, who Jesus revealed himself to earlier in Luke 24, as we learned about last week on the road to Emmaus, they now go back to Jerusalem where the disciples, the original 11, were, to go tell them all that they seen and heard. And you would think that in this moment that those disciples would be excited. You would think that in this moment these disciples would be convinced. But the Bible actually tells us something about the disposition and the state of being that the disciples were in. And it wasn't jubilance, and it wasn't joy. The Apostle John, the writer John, actually shows us in John chapter 20, verse 19, kind of gives us another perspective of this same story we're reading here in Luke 24. It says in verse 19, while it was evening on that first day of the week, that was Sunday, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked. Watch this, because they feared the Jews. I find it to be interesting, y'all, because the Bible says that their fear kept them locked in a certain place. And not only was fear at work, but as we'll see a few moments later, doubt was at work. They were afraid, and they were also filled with doubt. Fear and doubt will keep you where you are. Fear and doubt will keep you stuck. Fear and doubt will keep you from taking a step of faith. Fear and doubt will keep you from moving forward. Fear and doubt will paralyze you in your problems. Fear and doubt will keep you in bondage. Jesus is alive, y'all, but yet they're afraid of what's happening or what could happen to them as a result of them being connected to Jesus. Can I ask us a question today? And online, I want to ask you this as well. Have you ever been in a place where you've maybe heard how good God is, you've come to church, you've heard how faithful he is, we just sang about it, no weapon formed against you, but you found yourself still dealing with fear and doubt? Come on, today's an honest sermon. Because I know we sing about this, and we make these declarations, which we should, but some of you are here today, and you're like, Pastor, all that sounds good, but I'm still doubtful. I still got my doubts. I still got my questions. And what this text shows us is that you and I can know Jesus, we can be walking with Jesus, and we can have relationship with Jesus, but from time to time, fear and doubt will come knocking at our door. I don't care how saved you are, I don't care how anointed you are, and y'all in here, y'all are saved, y'all are part of the Bridge Church, and y'all come with a hunger every single week. You're serving, and you're in connect groups, and you come to midweek experience, and I see y'all in the grocery store during the week, and I see y'all sharing stuff on social media, but if you're really honest sometimes, you have your doubts too. Matter of fact, pastor by the name of Eugene Peterson, who went home to be with the Lord some years ago, he says it like this: belief, I want you to write this down, take a screenshot, belief in God does not exempt us from feelings of abandonment by God. Watch this. Praising God does not inoculate us from doubts about God. Here's what he's saying. It don't matter how much you jump, how much you shout, how much your voice goes in and out like mine is right now because of God's goodness. Every now and then, some doubt will try to trickle in. Every now and then, some fear will try to pop up on your radar. I don't care how many scriptures you know. I don't care how strong in the faith you are. Every person hears doubt and fear knocking on the door of their heart at some point in their life. And I believe that some of us are here today and you can relate to the disciples and what they're dealing with when it comes to doubt and fear. Some of you are here and you've been believing for things to change and believing for things to get better, and yet it doesn't seem like they ever will. What things are present right now in your life that there have been in your life, they've been in your life for some time that have contributed to your doubts? What failures have maybe happened, or what letdowns and disappointments have happened in your life that have caused you to begin to maybe have some doubts? Matter of fact, I want you to write this down because I believe this. Doubt is often present when disappointment has occurred. We talked about disappointment and discouragement last week. And oftentimes what follows up and what's connected to discouragement and disappointment is doubt. So because I've been let down for, I have my doubts for later. Because a person did not honor their word before, I don't know if I can trust them now. Because you were late last time, I don't really have confidence that you're going to be on time today. Come on, anybody ever had some doubts before? And when we've had doubts, oftentimes, family, we go to different places to try to answer and deal with our doubts. We've gone to everyone. We'll go to family. We'll go to friends. We've been to this place. We've been to that place. We'll go to YouTube University, and we'll go to TikTok Theology, and we'll go to this expert, and we'll go to this influencer, because we're trying to get some answers to the doubts that we have. And because of that, sometimes, if we're really honest, we've tried everything, and we still have doubts. Some of us are here today, just like some of the disciples, and you're dealing with doubt right now. You have doubt in your mind as to whether or not anything good will ever happen to you. You have, for some of us who follow Jesus, you have no problem believing God for somebody else. But you have doubt when it comes to what God can do in your own life. You got crazy faith, water walking faith, when it comes to believing God for somebody else. But when it comes to your own problems and your own life, that doubt is strong. And some of us are here today, and you're like, Pastor, I've tried for so long, and I just don't think it's ever going to get better. I don't think it's ever going to change. Some of you are here today, and you're doubting whether or not God loves you. You're doubting whether or not God is real. Some of you are here today, and you're skeptical. You're like, man, I just came to church because somebody invited me. I don't really know if God is real. Some of us are here today, I don't really know about this whole resurrection stuff. I don't really know if Jesus is real. He's just some abstract idea. Some of you are here today and you're doubting whether or not God can actually restore your family and put your family back together. You've got doubts, you've got concerns, and even questions. Why? Because of some of the things that have happened to you and some things that have happened around you. And it conditioned your heart and my heart and our thoughts to begin to have doubts. But I want to let you know and give you this word of encouragement. If you find yourself dealing with doubt here today, and you are here today, and you got some questions, and you're wrestling with some things, I want to let you know that in Jesus' name, you are in the right place. I'm here to let you know that if you are in here and you're wrestling with some stuff right now, that God has something to say about your doubts. Matter of fact, we see it here in this text here in Luke chapter 24. I love this because here's what verse 36 says. That in the midst of what the disciples were feeling, verse 36 says this. Watch what the text says. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst. They're doubting, and yet Jesus shows up. In the words of my childhood pastor, church people don't know when to shout. You missed it. They're doubting. They're questioning God, they're questioning Jesus, they're questioning the authority, they're questioning the miracle, they're questioning exactly what's happened, they're questioning what Mary and them have said, they're questioning what the other apostles, the disciples from the Emmaus, whatever. We hear all that, but they still got doubts. But in the midst of their doubts, in the midst of their questions, in the midst of their uncertainties, Jesus shows up. Why is this so important for us to understand? I want you to lean in and I want you to listen to this. It means that Jesus can handle your doubts. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. Jesus even welcomes your doubts. Jesus is so good and he's so powerful that the questions that you have about him, he is able to answer them. He is able to handle them. And some of you are here and you're struggling to believe and you're struggling to be hopeful and you're struggling to believe if God is who he says he is. You're struggling with questions in your mind. I'm talking to some teenagers in here and you're struggling right now when it comes to a relationship with God. And you're struggling to believe if God is who he says he is. And I'm here to let you know that God is not allergic to doubting people. He's attracted to them. God is drawn to doubting people. I want you to write this down. This is the lesson for today if you don't get anything else. In our doubts, God doesn't abandon us, he meets us. I'm here to let you know, whatever question you have, whatever thing you're wrestling with today, I want you to know that in Jesus' name, he wants to meet you in the middle of that messy situation, that doubting situation, where you got some questions and where you got some wrestling thoughts, where you got some things that you're dealing with in your heart. I'm here to let you know, Jesus wants to meet you there. He's there. Thank God that we got a God who is faithful to us, even in our doubts. I thank God that even when we got doubts about his credibility, and even when we got doubts as to whether or not he can do this, God, unlike us, if you were questioning my credibility, I might not want to have anything to do with you. I might just kind of be like, hey, that's you. I don't got to have nothing to do with you. You be over there. I'm going to be over here. But I thank God that God is not like me. I thank God that he's not like us, that even when we got questions about who he is, he doesn't run away from us. He runs to us. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful for the fact on a Sunday morning that we got a God that does not abandon us when we doubt, but we got a God who comes close to us. He's drawn to your doubts. Tell the person beside you, he can handle your doubts. Some of us don't pray real prayers because we're scared that God's going to look at us differently. But you got it in your heart. You just ain't said it out your mouth. Some of us got, God, are you really able to heal my body? We're scared to ask that question with our mouth, but it's in our heart. Why is this so important? Because notice what Jesus says to the disciples. We're going to talk about it here. He says, why has doubt risen in your hearts? Because doubt is a mental thing and an emotional thing, just as fear is a mental thing and an emotional thing. And all of what we're seeing in this text, family, it happens post-resurrection. All of what's happening here happens post-resurrection. Why am I saying that? Because when I'm helping you to understand, if Jesus rose with all power in his hands over sin, over the grave, over Satan, over evil, if he beat death and got up after being dead 3 days, do you not think he can handle your doubts too? It's crazy, y'all. Come on, let's be honest, you know. Church people do it. Not y'all, but church people. We'll say things like, we believe in the resurrection. That God did the impossible. He raised his son by the power of his Holy Spirit from the grave on the third day. But then we got a problem believing God to provide a job. Come on, talk to me. Don't get quiet now. Like, we have a problem. We'll believe that he got up from the grave on the third day. We don't believe that he can heal cancer. We believe that he can get up from the grave after everybody said he would never do it. We believe that. But we don't believe that he can restore our family. Come on, sit with it for a moment. I ain't gonna move. I'm gonna let this breathe. Ain't it crazy? The mere fact that you're here today on a Sunday morning is actually some indicator that you somewhat believe that God is who he says he is. And if you and I believe somewhat of who God says he is, then why do we doubt the small things? God, I know you got Jesus up out of the grave, but this light bill, this mortgage though, this car payment, this mental stronghold, this stress, this worry, I don't really know if you can do that.
But I'm here to let you know that if God can get Jesus out of the grave on the third day, if God can be faithful to raise his son up out of the grave, surely he can handle whatever it is that you're dealing with.
And I need us to get this, because the resurrection, y'all, I want you to write this down. The resurrection of Jesus does not only have eternal implications, it has everyday implications. We'll sometimes limit the resurrection of Jesus to just things, all things eternity. My soul is saved. I've been redeemed by God. That is all true. It's not incorrect. It's just incomplete. But limited to just spiritual things. Do you not think that the resurrection power cannot work in every area of your life? Do you not think that the resurrection power cannot work when it comes to dealing with the tough coworker that you had? Do you not think that the resurrection power of Jesus can actually heal, can actually restore, that can actually set free, can actually deliver? I'm here to let you know. It doesn't just have eternal implications. It has everyday implications. And I think what Jesus is helping us to see through his interaction with the disciples is that when we deal with doubts and disbelief, he's more than able to deal with them. And here's how. I want us to write this first thing down. That when we deal with doubts and disbelief, Jesus is more than able, number one, write this down, to soften our doubts. Tell the person beside you, he can soften it. Why do I use that language, soften? Because on the inside, some of us, doubt is really strong. And it weighs on us like a ton of bricks. That's why some of us can't get a good night of sleep at all, because you got doubt running in your heart. That's why, for some of us, even good things that happen to us, you look at them with a skeptical eye. It's too good to be true. Because doubt has taken over. I want you to see verses 36 through 38. Notice what Jesus says here. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst, and he said to them, peace. Everybody say peace. He says, peace to you. Why would Jesus say peace to you? Because their world, disciples' world, had been turned upside down. Their faith on the inside had been shaken because of what happened to them on the outside. Jesus was crucified. They had placed all their hopes that the Messiah, and they thought Jesus was the Messiah. They thought he was going to be a militaristic type of Messiah to set them free from Roman oppression. And so when he died on that cross on that Friday, they thought all hope was lost. But what they didn't recognize, it was more to the story. Jesus did not come to set you free just from Roman rule. No, there was something much greater that was ruling your hearts. It was called sin. It was called you being in the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Jesus came to not just set you free from earthly things. You have a greater problem called sin that he came to set you free from. That's why he came. But they didn't see that at first. And so now that they're hearing all this report that he's alive from Mary and other disciples, now he pulls up to them and he says, peace. Because for so long they were filled with so much doubt and so much fear. They had a storm on the inside. Can I let you know something, family? The storms in your life, the storm that you might have, the biggest storms are not the ones happening outside of us. It's the ones happening on the inside of us. It's the storm swirling around in your heart, doubting God, frustrated, stressed, worried. But what they didn't understand, and sometimes we also forget, what they forgot was, this was the same Jesus who, when they found themselves in an actual natural storm on a boat, when the winds and the waves were blowing, and they said, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus gets up out of being sleep, wipes the crust out of his eyes, and says, peace be still. What that should remind them and also remind us of is that Jesus is not only able to calm the storms on the outside of us, but that he's also come to calm the storms on the inside of us. And doubt is a tornado. Doubt is a Cat 5 hurricane on the inside of us that causes us to miss out on the things that God wants us to experience. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus has come to bring peace to doubting people. I'm here to let you know that Jesus has come to bring a calmness to the storms that you're dealing with on the inside. I'm here to let you know that Jesus has come to bring some sense of tranquility. He's come to soften. Jesus wants to enter your place of doubt and bring peace. He wants to bring peace to your troubles. So notice what he says here. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Verse 38, here's what Jesus says. Why are you troubled? I wonder if the disciples were thinking to themselves, fam, what you mean why are we troubled? This door was locked, our room was locked, and then all of a sudden you pop up. Why, I'm troubled. Have you seen you? But it was more than what was happening on the surface. And this is why Jesus says next, why are you troubled? He said, why do doubts arise in your heart? Y'all have had doubts for a long time. I told y'all I was coming back in 3 days. But y'all still doubted me. Back then, I won't hot now. You ain't believe me. God did, though. You ain't believe. I told you over and over I was going to be crucified. And on the third day, I would rise. But y'all still doubted. He's like, it's cool, though. I've come to bring peace. To soften your doubts. I believe if Jesus was sitting here physically with us, he might ask some of you the same question. What are you troubled about right now? What's troubling your mind? What's troubling your heart? For some of us, your marriage is what's troubling you. It's your career that's troubling you. It's your health that's troubling you. It's some mental battles that you're dealing with that's troubling you. Some of us are troubled about a decision, a hard decision that we got to make this week. And you've been ruminating about it all month long. Some of us are troubled because we're afraid of what we have to face. We got to face some hard things. Troubled about maybe what this week may bring, but I want to let you know that Jesus brings trouble to whatever troubles you. That whatever's troubling your heart, he wants to bring peace to that. Whatever it is that's stressing you out, he wants to bring peace to that. So this is why John 14:27, he says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I love this because he said, I'm not giving you the world's peace, I'm giving you my peace. He said, I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let, watch this, your heart be troubled or fearful. There's a difference between the peace that the world gives. The peace that the world gives has an expiration date. It goes bad after a while. But the peace that God gives, it's not only applicable for one season. It's not only applicable for one situation. It works in season and out of season. It works no matter the situation that you face, good or bad, happy or sad. His peace is applicable to no matter what it is that you're facing in your life. I'm here to let you know that he is the Prince of Peace, and he gives peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives a peace that calms us. It's important for us to understand this because for some of you, you've come today stressed out, upset, lost, having no peace. But Jesus is saying, I want to give you an otherworldly peace to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Can I let some of you know, this is going to be a hack for some of you. It's not for all of us, this is for some of us. Some medication that some of you all are on is not because of something physical. It's something spiritual. You're taking sleep pills to help you go to sleep, but it's not all physical. It's not because of what's going on in your body. It's because of what's going on in your heart. And I'm here to let you know, you can't medicate a spiritual problem. But if you tap in with the one who is healer, if you tap in with the Prince of Peace, what happens now is he gives peace that settles things. He gives peace that calms things. He gives peace that brings tranquility to areas where there's difficulty. For some of you, when you actually begin to allow the peace of God to interrupt your heart and to intersect in your heart, the pain medication, the sleep pills that you've been on for years and decades will begin to dissipate. I'm not saying that's for all of us, but for some of us, that's what it is. Because for so long, doubts has been creeping in. Worry has been there. Stress has been there. Anxiousness has been there, which is why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, why are you worried about so many things? Why are you troubled about so many things? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Some of us will sleep so much better if you'll just let God handle it. Some of us wouldn't wake up throughout the night every single 30 minutes if you would let God handle it. Can I let you know this? Just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples when the storm rose, he's also in your life right now, in the midst of everything swirling around. And if he's there, why should you and I worry about how it's going to work out? Peace, be still. He came to give you peace. He came to soften those doubts. But he not only came to soften it, he also came to settle your doubts. Here's what verse 39 to 43 says. I like the text says. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. Having said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they were still amazed and in disbelief of their own, of their joy, because of the joy, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. Now why is this so important that we see? Because here's what Jesus is trying to help them see. He's trying to create a moment for them to have a personal encounter with him. He's creating this moment for them to personally have an experience with him. He doesn't condemn them for doubting, but he is correcting them in their doubt. He's shifting their perspective to himself. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. And in our times of doubt, I want you to understand this. Jesus does not condemn us. He invites us. What does he invite us to, Pastor? He invites us to experience him. He invites us to embrace him. This is why I think the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. It is a principle of us having a personal experience and an encounter with God. So that's why when you come to church on Sunday, it's not about coming to a church service. No, it's about having an encounter and an experience with the God who is able to change things. It's not about saying I went to the bridge for an hour and a half. No, it's about saying I had an encounter with Jesus, man. I had an experience with him. And it's good news, y'all, because when we find ourselves dealing with doubt, that is when God invites us to pursue him greater, to lean into him. The Apostle Paul knows something about this, because he was one who doubted Jesus for so long. But on his road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he had a personal encounter and experience with Jesus that forever marked and forever changed his life, which is why later on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says these words. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to even suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will, watch this, experience the resurrection from the dead. I'm here to let you know Jesus wants you to not just know him, but to experience him. Knowledge can only get you so far, but experiences will change your life forever. And here in this text, y'all, Jesus, here's what Jesus is essentially doing in their doubt. He's offering up proof that he is who he says he is. He's offering up evidence. And to gain an even greater appreciation for this, you got to go back to John chapter 20, because in John chapter 20, John is also chronicling this event. And in John chapter 20, around verse 26, John says these words that are very powerful that I want us to see. He says this, Thomas, or verse 26, a week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them, even though the doors were locked. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Why is this so important for us to see this scripture? Because in Luke 24, Luke was kind of giving us a general account that Jesus was talking to the disciples. But here in John, John's like, no, fam. He wasn't just talking to all of us. He was talking to the one who had massive doubts. It was like Jesus pulled up to everybody and said, what's up, everybody? Thomas, let me see you right quick. Here go my hands. I heard about you, Thomas. I heard about you having some doubts. I heard about you saying, unless I see Jesus' nail-scarred hands, I'll never believe. I heard you whining. I'm here now, fam. Look at the hands, bro. Look at my side. He invites Thomas to touch it. You know what's crazy about this text, y'all, in John? Thomas said, unless I touch it, I won't believe. The Bible doesn't say anything about Thomas ever touching Jesus. When he saw him, that was enough. He believed. I'm here to let you know that some of the times, the things that you think you need to trust God, you really don't need. God is not handicapped by your limitations. His presence is enough. And he gives Thomas evidence. He says, Thomas, look at my hands. Thomas, look at my side. Thomas is getting evidence of the power of God and the presence of God in this moment. And why is this so important for us? Some of us are like, Pastor, I'll never have a Thomas moment. I'll never see Jesus face to face the way Thomas did in this life per se. I'll never be able to see his nail-scarred hands. Jesus is not actually here to convince me of my doubts. That's not the principle. The principle is this. There is evidence of the presence and the power of Jesus already at work in your life.
Some of y'all still didn't get it. I want you to go back to some situations that you thought you would not make it out of. Do you think that the reason why you made it out of the car accident that should have ended your life was because of an airbag deploying? No, that was because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Do you want to know the reason why you were able to make it another month even though your money ran out? It was not because of a bank error. It was because of the grace and the favor and the power of God. There's evidence all around us of Jesus showing himself to us in our lives. I'm talking to some seniors in here who are in high school and in college. The reason why you made it to senior year in spite of the challenges is because of the evidence of God's grace and favor in your life. The reason why your grades went up when you didn't think they would and didn't think that they could is because of the grace and the power of God in your life. The reason why you made it through another month, even though you were battling all types of struggles on the inside, is because of the grace and the mercy of God in your life. And I just want to know, are there a few people here today that can say, I got evidence of God's grace in my life. I got evidence of God's power in my life. I didn't know how a situation would work out, but by the grace of God, it worked out. And I want to know, can we take about 5 seconds if you got a testimony of God's goodness and give God a praise? Give God a shout of praise for his goodness. Give God a shout of praise for his faithfulness. Give God. Come on, don't look at me like that. The reason why you survived was because of God. The reason why you overcame was because of God. The reason why you persevered was because of God. You're smart, but you're not that smart. You're gifted, but you're not that gifted. You're talented, but you're not that talented. Your car has all the safety features, but it's not that safe. The only reason why you are where you are is because of God. What I'm saying is if you look around at your life, the scene of your life is contaminated with the fingerprints of God. His fingerprints was on your childhood. His fingerprints is upon the season that you didn't think would be able to make it out of. His fingerprints was on your life when you went through the divorce and you did not know how you were going to make it out of it. I'm here to let you know that his hand has been on you the whole time, which is why David says that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So God gives us evidence to settle our doubts. Some of us in here are like, I don't know if God is real. I'm here to let you know the reason why you are here today is because God is real. The reason why you overcame the addiction and it did not overcome you is because of God. He's at work. And that's some good news, y'all, because you and I will deal with doubt from time to time. And we need to be reminded of what God has done in our life. If you need evidence as to whether or not God has been at work, look at your life. Look at the things that people said you would never make it out of. Have you ever been in a moment where you said, I don't know how this is going to work out, but then it worked out? Can I let you know something? That was not luck. Come on, this new age stuff, that was not the universe. No. That was not the stars and the constellations. That was the God who created the stars. That was the God who created the universe. That was the God who created you at work in your life. We don't worship the creation. We worship the creator of the creation. He is the one. Evidence is all around us. Evidence is there. The abuse that you went through, and you didn't know how you would recover from, but you did. It's evidence of God's grace. And for you, for Thomas, it was look at my hands. For you and I, it's look at my hand that's been at work in your life. God been working. For some of you, you weren't even supposed to make it out of the birth canal and make it to your birthday. You were supposed to die on your birthday. But you are here today because of God's grace. There's evidence. Tell the person beside you, there's evidence all around. It's there, man. And God has been there the whole time. And that's what some of our doubt has been. God, have you been here? And God will say, I've been here the whole time. Look at your life. Look at what you made it through. You got a degree. Nobody in your family got that yet. You broke out of generational strongholds. God's grace was sufficient. Evidence is that he settles our doubt. When you feel yourself doubting
begin to look back at all the things that God has already done. Which now leads to this next point. Not only does he speak to our doubts or settle our doubts, but here's the third thing. He speaks to our doubts. I love this, y'all, because he doesn't just give them experience. He gives them a word. And why is this so important? Because it's the word of God that grounds us, that centers us, that keeps us. This is why you need today. It's the greatest decision you will make all week, because you are submitting. I'm submitting myself to the word of God to be grounded. This is why getting your word every single day is vital. I can't just get in the word on Sundays. I need to treat the word like it's air. Without it, I don't survive. And notice what Jesus said in verse 44, back in Luke chapter 24. He said these words. He said, he told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I love he says this. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer. But right before that, he says this. These are my words that I spoke to you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Here's what I want you to understand. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. This whole Bible, y'all, it ain't about us. It's about Jesus. Come on, this is not about how to get rich in 20 days. This book is not so that way you can discover when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. This book is not so that way you can figure out who my man and who my woman gonna be. It speaks to those things, but that's not what it's about. It is about one person, and his name is above all names. And his name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. This book is not about you. This book is not about me. This book is all about Jesus, and it points back to him. He says, all of the scriptures point to me, which means this: if you miss Jesus, you've missed the book. Jesus, one of my mentors will say it like this, is the hermeneutical key to unlocking all of scripture. Hermeneutic is a simple, big theological word, which means interpret. If you want to know the understanding and know the meaning of a scripture, point it back to Jesus. How does it connect with Jesus? So now what happens is, when I begin to understand that, it grounds my life in a greater way. And if you go back to verse 38, remember what Jesus said. Why do doubts arise in your heart? We don't really know what specific doubts that they had, but we know that they had doubts. But here's what the Bible helps us to understand. Whatever their doubts were, he could speak to it. I'm here to let you know, whatever your doubt is right now, I don't know what it is, I want to let you know, God can speak to it. Whatever you have questions about, God can speak to it. If you have questions as to whether or not this can work out, I'm here to let you know, God can speak to it. And he speaks to it through his word, through his written word, and through his spoken word, which always lines up with his written word. He gives the disciples here assurance in the midst of their doubts, and is connected to the scriptures. It's connected to the word. Here's the principle that I want us to understand. I want you to write it down. That when we find ourselves dealing with doubts, we have to be governed by what God has said and not what we feel. We live in a time, y'all, where we like to use language. Oh, I just feel. I feel this and I feel that. If I don't feel it, I ain't gonna do it. Let me help us understand something, family. If you are gonna be led by your feelings, it's gonna lead to a lot of heartbreak and a lot of headache. We are not to be feelings led. We are to be spirit and scripture led. I'm not to be led by what I feel. I'm to be led by what God has said. Feelings are good indicators, but are terrible instructors. Which is why the Bible says that above all things, the heart is deceitful. So I don't follow what I feel. I follow what God said. I don't ignore what I feel, but I don't idolize what I feel either. I'm aware of it, but I'm not governed by it. And when we find ourselves battling doubts, I want to encourage us to not seek out even more information. I want us to seek out revelation from God's word. What does God say about this? Here's what Psalm 119 verse 49 says. Remember your word to your servant. You have given me, watch this, you've given me hope through it. Can I help you understand? Hope is not going to be found by what's on Google.
Hope is not going to be found what you see on Instagram. Hope is not going to be found by what you see on social media. Hope is only going to be found in what God has said in and through his word. And the psalm writer says in verse 50 of Psalm 119, he says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word is my comfort. Your promise has given me life." So here's what I'm saying. We don't need a word from CNN. We don't need a word from Fox News. We don't need a word from MSNBC. We don't need a word from the latest influencer. We don't need a word from the latest so-called expert. No, we need a word from King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need a word from the Word of God, the only thing that can govern us and guide us and lead us. So here's what I mean by this. When it comes to our doubts, we don't need more information. We need illumination. We need an understanding of God's word. We need to be able to understand what it is that he's saying. So our prayer when we're doubting should be this: Jesus, help me to see you and to know you better in spite of what it is that I'm facing. Jesus says this in John 14 and 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Which means this: Jesus is not only speaking the truth, he is the truth. And if he speaks the truth because he is the truth, then that means he can be trusted. Which means I don't have to doubt him. Which means this: we can trust Jesus in our doubts because he not only speaks the truth, but because he is the truth. I want to close back going to the scripture back in John chapter 20, verse 27. Because when Jesus is having this conversation with Thomas, the Bible says this, "Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." He says this, "Don't be faithless, but believe." Some translations say, "Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. Do you know the word for some of us in here today? Stop doubting and believe. You've been doubting long enough. It's time to start believing. Can I let you know actually what doubt is? Doubt is faith in reverse. Is faith in the wrong thing. But when you and I believe and trust, it is me believing in the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or imagine. For the word for some of us this year, maybe, it's time for you to stop believing that God can and start believing that he can. It's time for you to stop doubting that God can't and to start believing that he actually can. It's time for you to stop doubting that God is able to open a door and start believing that he can open the door. I want to close with this song. It's an old school song that I grew up on in my home church, and some of you guys might be familiar with it. I know this is an 11 o'clock service, so it's a little bit younger crowd. But it was an old school song that we sang that says something like this: "You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him." Then the old lady would say, "You can't make me doubt him in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart." And I don't know about y'all, but that's my testimony, because I know too much about God to begin to doubt God. I know too much about God to believe the fact that he can't show up. No, I've seen him show up countless time after time. Come on, somebody who here today can say, "Nobody can make me doubt him any longer, because I got evidence in my life and I got a word in my life. I've seen him move in my life. I've seen him open doors in my life. He can't make me doubt him." And I love this, family, because what this should help us to see and be reminded of is the fact that no matter what it is that we find ourselves doubting, that maybe this is the season where we begin to make declarations over our doubts. I believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. I believe that he died for the sins of the world. I believe that he rose back to life on the third day. I believe that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that he is alive and that he is coming back again. I believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe those things, but I believe some of us in here can say, "I don't just believe those things, but I believe other things." I believe that he is more than able to open up a door. I believe that he is more than able to heal my body. I believe that he is more than able to restore things, to reconcile things, to heal things. I believe. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment, because the thing that I believe that he's helping us to see is that his presence is always available to us. He's been saying to us for so long, stop doubting and believe. Stop disbelieving and believe. I want you to understand, say, that today is the day where we begin to deal a death blow to doubt. Some of you are here today and you've been questioning God for so long. And I hear God saying, how much more do you need for me to prove to you the fact that I'm faithful? How much more do you need for me to prove to you the fact that I'm a healer? How much more do you need me to do in your life to show that I can provide? How much more? He is God. He is faithful. He is reliable. He is consistent. He is good. He is the God who shows up. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. And I want you to get this in your heart. If you don't get anything out of all this, this statement right here, I want you to get. If Jesus can conquer his death through his resurrection, that means also through his resurrection, he can conquer your doubts. If the resurrection of Jesus can conquer his death, that means the resurrection of Jesus can conquer your doubts. If he's able and able to overcome his death, he's more than able to overcome your doubts. And some of you have been doubting for so long whether or not he's real. I'm here to let you know he is. There's evidence of that. Some of you are here and you've been wondering. I'm talking to some young people in here. You've been questioning God. And God is like, hey, I know you got questions. I got answers. He's the answer to every question that you have. He may not answer every question that you want him to answer in the way that you want him to, but he is the answer to every question that you have. If he is able to overcome his death, family, he's able to overcome your doubts. I don't care what it is that you're doubting right now. I don't care what it is that you're wrestling with. I want you to know that he's more than able to overcome it. I'm talking to some of us here this morning, this afternoon, online and in person. You haven't told anybody, but you've been doubting for so long. Some of you are here and you've been walking with Jesus, but you still wrestle with doubt. You still deal with fear. Some of you are afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Afraid of what's going to happen next week. You got some doubts about things working in your favor. God sent me here on assignment today to give you this word of encouragement. If he is able to get his son out of the grave, he is able to help you experience victory over your doubts. So I'm going to invite us with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. If you're here today, some of you are here. You don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. You don't have a relationship. You don't have connection with him. You don't know him. I want you to know this, that today is the day of new beginnings. Today is the day where you can come to know him. Today is the day where you can say yes to him. Some of you have drifted from God. Some of you have drifted from him. Today he's saying, hey, I want you to come back. I know you got questions. It's okay. I'm not allergic to it. I'm attracted to it. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me, I'll give you peace. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I need a relationship with him. I've been running from him for so long. I want to run to him. I want to say yes to him. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you don't know him, and you haven't said yes to him, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. If you're here today and you want to begin a relationship with him, if you're here today, and you want to maybe come back to him. Maybe some of you have drifted. It's time to come back home. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If this is you, today is the day where you say, I want to come back to Jesus. Today is the day. Come on, if you're here today, you don't have a relationship with him. I'm here to let you know those doubts that you have, they won't be settled. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, if you're here today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start a relationship with him. I want to come back to him. I want to get some clarity. I need some direction that only comes to Jesus, family. If you're here and you want to say yes to him, just shoot up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see you. If you're here, amen. Amen. If you're here today online and in person and you're saying, I want to come to Christ, I'm going to receive him as my Lord, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that he is Lord and that God raised him from the grave, we'll be saved. So I want to invite you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said, amen.